In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. The topic of this presentation is confession, holy confession, guidelines, spiritual experience, Yeranda, spiritual father, priest confession, and family confession. So let's go right through those topics. Guidelines, that word is subject to very broad interpretation, and so I exercise my own liberty and have chosen to address the question of healing or penitential guidelines. Guidelines for the confessor on how to heal the penitent. That's the focus of the first part of our talk. And let me open this subject by sharing a few recent cases and examples of what could only be described as malpractice. You can imagine for a moment someone driving in a car, they're in a terrible car accident. The steering wheel has broken their head. They have serious wounds all over their body, and they're taken to the hospital with internal bleeding and broken bones, and the doctor in the emergency room comes to them and evaluates them and then takes out a little Tylenol box and puts two tablets on their tongue and says, just take these, you know, you're going to be okay. This is a very serious case of malpractice. The doctor who is to be the healer has in fact become an accomplice in the murder of a person who's dying. This has a spiritual parallel. Let me give you an example, something that just happened very sadly in my own world. I have a dear man who's being divorced by his wife. He's a new member of the parish. She leaves him for a newly baptized man who seduces her within a month of being baptized. She's long-time faithful Orthodox. She is excommunicated by her priest. This is another jurisdiction. And her bishop from that jurisdiction. She then goes to another Orthodox jurisdiction and asks for a spiritual court to have her marriage dissolved so that she can marry her lover. And the process went through. The husband was given no reasonable, the husband who had been left, no reasonable chance of even attending the proceedings about this. She was granted her divorce. She was remarried. Done. Now look at that case. Look at that case. Three jurisdictions. How sad. The husband met with me and said, he's very accepting this in faith and trying to find his way through it. I'm very proud of him. He said, should I say anything? He doesn't have any vengeance in him. Glory to God. It's a beautiful thing. Should I do anything about this? And I said, you know, the easy thing would be to do nothing. I said, but if you love her, you know that what's happened has been a great disservice to her. It's been a great wound. She thinks she's gotten what she wants, but in fact, she's terribly hurt herself, and she's got a priest to have been an accomplice with her in hurting herself. I said, so I would. I would definitely not accept this. I would pursue this. This is spiritual malpractice. This is something that is ecclesiastically criminal, and that the church has very clear words for. Let's think of another case. Imagine someone confesses adultery and it's been going on for 10 years, let's say. And that person is listened to by the priest, talked to by the priest. The person appears to be repenting, but is had the prayers of absolution read and is allowed to commune the next Sunday. This is malpractice. This is spiritual malpractice. It's an attempt to heal someone, even from a good-hearted position, even with the best intentions. Best intentions are not sufficient for a confessor, for a spiritual father. Just like best intentions would not be sufficient for a medical doctor. A medical doctor needs love, good intentions, and knowledge. Right? He has to know how to evaluate diseases and how to treat diseases. And it's the same for us. And so under the subject of guidelines, I'd like to suggest some things from the fathers about how to actually practice the art of healing of the soul.